Thank you, David. And thanks to all of you for coming tonight, you're brave souls. And if you're visiting with us, come back sometime when Dan's preaching. I think you'll be rewarded for that. But welcome to everyone. We're glad you're here. And if you're visiting, we're glad that you're here too, and invite you to come back at any opportunity that you have. The title of our lesson tonight is Does God Hear Me? Marty and Kyle and I have all been given a section to speak on this evening in this lesson. And Dan asked me to begin with speaking on the power of prayer. So let's begin with the words of Jesus. In Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8, Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened." Now we know that God knows what we need before we even ask. We know that he sees how our lives are going. He knows what we need. But he still wants us to ask. He still wants us to pray to him and ask for those things that we need. And he says that when we do that, we will receive. Further in James chapter 5, verse 16, James said, "Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." I think the King James Version says that the effectual fervent prayer availeth much. But the point is that when we ask for these things, that we expect that they would be accomplished. Sometimes I think that we lack in our prayer life because we don't really think that it's going to change anything. We know that we ought to pray, and we know that God says that he will listen to us. But sometimes we actually lack the faith that it will make a difference. James tells us that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Not only does prayer have a power to affect our physical being, but also our spiritual well-being. Sins can be forgiven through prayer. Not that you can pray that Henry is forgiven for prayer, or that I can pray that you're forgiven, but that we can pray for one another that our hearts may be changed so that we will ask for forgiveness. So the prayers of those that are righteous do affect the spirituality of ourselves. Sins really can be forgiven through prayer. We're told to ask. We're to confess our sins to each other so that we can pray for each other. When we're struggling with weakness, with temptations, with sin in our life, we can ask for the prayers of one another. And notice that James says that we're not only to confess our sins to the elders of the church, but that we're to confess to one another. We're all on equal footing when it comes to sin. We all sin. And so we can pray for one another. And this is why James can make the dynamic statement that he does at the end of verse 16. And we know that the prayer of a righteous person is very strong when executed. We just need to execute it a lot more. It works. It works when we're suffering for righteousness. It works when we're severely ill. It works when we confess our sins to God and ask for his forgiveness. Prayer causes things to happen. James bolsters his point by turning to the example of Elijah. In James 5, verses 17 and 18, James says Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Elijah accomplished great things through prayer. Yes, he was a prophet, but he was a human being just like we are. He suffered the same things that we suffer. He goes through the same things that we go through. He just prayed to a supernatural God, a super powerful, almighty God. And we too can accomplish great things through prayer if we have the faith. Prayer is not for personal selfish gain, but for God's kingdom and for God's glory. James says Elijah prayed fervently, and look at the outcome of his fervent prayer. Our prayers too can be very powerful and very effective. We just need to not ignore the power of prayer and pray in all circumstances and in all times and for all things. Marty?
The last time I got up here, I asked a few people after the thing was over if they could critique me. Was there something I needed to do better? And I was told I needed to loosen up, so I was just getting a little of that out of the way. The Lord Jesus, in Luke 18 and 1, gives us the thought that men ought always ought to pray and not lose heart. But there's a question, and the question is, does God always listen to our prayers? I'm going to refer back to the Old Testament, where God was dealing with the Israelites. And we'll go to Deuteronomy 1 and 45, where the scripture reads, "And you returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not hearken to your voice, nor give ear unto you." At this time, the Israelites were being rebellious. God had promised them a new land. But through their rebellion, they were to wander through the wilderness, and all those of that time would not see the promised land, except for Caleb and Joshua, who God chose to lead them over the River Jordan. Not even Moses got to set foot in that promised land, because he had hearkened to those people and God held it against him, their iniquities. Again in Deuteronomy 3 and 26, Moses prayed to God to let him cross over Jordan and to see the promised land. But it states that the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, "Let it suffice thee, speak no more to me of this matter." In other words, the Lord said, "Enough of that, Moses. I'm not listening. What I said, I meant, and this is the way it's going to be." And moving on, in the book of Lamentations, Jeremiah describes the funeral of a city, Jerusalem, a once proud city, but now it's barren and in rubble. Lamentations 3 and 8. Also, when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. Then in verse 44, thou hast covered thyself with a cloud, that our prayer should not pass through. It was that way because of the evil in the hearts of the Israelites and their kings at that time, as they would not follow their God. We should ask ourselves, why does God not always listen? One of the answers is that sometimes it's because of what's in our attitudes. In Job 3:35, verses 12 and 13, it reads, there they cry, but none giveth answer, because of the pride of evil men. Then in 13, surely God will not hear vanity, neither will the Almighty regard it. Sometimes God won't listen because what's in our hearts. David said in Psalm 66 and 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And other times it's because we aren't vigilant to keep his commandment, to do what's taught in his word of truth. Proverbs 28 and 9 says that he that turneth away his ear from the hearing of the Lord, even his prayer shall be abomination. So it's incumbent on us to listen to him through the preaching and teaching that comes from those that stand before you in the pulpit, from the teachers in the classrooms, and from his word. Kyle?
My portion of the lesson tonight is, when does God listen? And we all know that communication is a critical part of the life that we live. I know in a marriage, communication is extremely important. If you've had children, the ability to communicate with those children and for them to communicate freely with their parent, it's imperative for it to be a successful family. If you've lost your earthly father, what would it mean to you to have another conversation, one more conversation with your earthly father? I know that would mean a lot to me. Yet, we have that opportunity every day to communicate with our Heavenly Father. When does God listen? We'll open with John chapter 9, verse 31. If any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. God listens to the godly man that does his will. If you're sinning on a daily basis and you're not receptive to the idea of communicating with your Lord, don't count on him answering your prayer in the manner that you would want it answered. It may not happen. We have to be patient in prayer, because a lot of times we pray for things and we expect it to happen on our timeline, and we're not operating on our timeline. There's another plan, and we're operating on God's plan. And a lot of times, if we're patient, we get the answer. Now, it may not be the answer that we were hoping for. And oftentimes, if our prayers are not aligned with God's plan, we don't get the answer we wanted. That's the key, is that our prayer should be aligned with God's plan. And at that point, our answers will be consistent with His plan. In James, the first chapter, verse 6, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." In verse 7, "For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." If we waver, we're not completely convinced that God's way is best. We're not committed. In order for us to receive this stability that will eliminate that doubt, we have to be committed. Committed to a prayer life. Now, so many times as we go through our life, we want spiritual growth to occur in our life. A key to that spiritual growth is the communication that we have with our Heavenly Father. If we're communicating, we're going to grow spiritually. What we're going to find is that we're going to become in tune with the Holy Spirit working in our life. Without the prayer life, we're going to get a false read on what we're really supposed to do. So, the prayer life is really a key to spiritual growth. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 states, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." If a man is not considerate of his wife, his prayers will be hindered. A living relationship with God depends on the right relationship with others. If you have a problem with a fellow believer, or if you mistreat your wife, your relationship with God will suffer. We have to be considerate and respectful to others in order to have that line of communication that we all understand is so important to each one of us. We all want to grow spiritually. I mean, that's something that in the Christian life is a necessity. I mean, we don't want to become a Christian and remain a babe throughout our life. We want to grow and develop. And in order to do that, communication has to occur. And to me, the greatest avenue, and I think to each one of you, you understand, the greatest avenue of communication is through our prayer. Prayer is very powerful. Prayer gives each of us the ability to overcome the challenges in this life. You know, it's been said that, you know, God can take those problems away from us, or He can simply take us away from those problems. And that's very true. Either way, the problem is resolved. And we have to have that faith that God will do what is best in our life for each one of us. Prayer that's in alignment with God's plan for us is very powerful. Prayers can be hindered by our doings. We must be respectful and considerate of others. It's all about what's inside our heart. If our heart is not right, it will hinder our prayer life. If you want God to hear you, you must become a Christian. And if you look at Acts 2:38, you must believe, repent of your sins, confess Christ, and be baptized so that your sins might be washed away. This is the basis. This is where it all starts. If there's anyone here tonight that has not had that opportunity, you can come forward tonight if you need the prayers of the church. If you'll come forward, our elder Dale will be down here to assist you.
When we walk.